This episode of Breaking Brave is brought to you by Crank Coffee, the newest member of the Neal Brothers family. Crank Coffee is a new Canadian whole bean coffee brand that is certified organic and fair trade, founded by the Neal Brothers, Peter and Chris. This brand was influenced by cycling, coffee lovers, and experts. Check it out at the Neal Brothers online shop and use our coupon code BRAVE for 20% off your first Crank Coffee purchase. Enjoy. And I wanted to mention that if you would like to connect with me directly, you can always do so at marilynbarefoot.com or breakingbrave.show. I see and answer every single contact personally, and I would truly love to hear from you. Welcome to Breaking Brave. I'm your host, Marilyn Barefoot. Mike Fada was 300 pounds and struggling to find the energy to work and to even see his own future. In his own words, he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mike describes going to the gym and crying, trying to do the exercises. He was so weak and so out of shape. And he also realized that he needed to change what he was putting in his mouth. At age 21, Mike co-founded Manitoba Harvest Hemp Foods and began his brave journey to dedicate over 25 years of his life studying and practicing natural health. His story is one of transformation, resilience, and entrepreneurial spirit. Please welcome the very brave Mr. Mike Fada. I have been completely blown away by your story, Mr. Mike Fada. I knew about you originally through Margaret Coons, who's been a guest on Breaking Brave. And I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself, Mike, because I think you can do it better than I can do it. Mr. Mike Fada.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Mike Fada. I'm a Canadian, born and raised in the prairies of Canada and live in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And I've been an entrepreneur for over 25 years. After I made some major health changes and lifestyle changes, I got into the health food business. And it's my claim to fame over that 25 years is pioneering and growing Manitoba Harvest and really commercializing hemp foods. And then we were successful growing that business to $100 million and selling it. And then over the last 5 years, I've been building a portfolio of companies and sharing my journey along the way to help other entrepreneurs grow.
Phenomenal. So let's go back in time. Am I right when I say 13 years old, you said, nah, I don't really want to be involved in high school anymore?
Yeah, 13, 14, I had enough with school and convinced my mom to allow me to drop out and start working.
And where did you work then? What was your very first job after you got out of high school?
Doing construction, working as a carpenter's apprentice, basically doing demolition and dirty work in construction. And I did a bunch of construction work over a period of 6 or 7 years before we started the business.
Excellent. And what role did McDonald's Restaurants of Canada potentially play in your life back then, Mike?
Not the best role. You know, McDonald's set up right beside our school. I was in grade 6 or something, and hamburger day and hot dog day, and it added to my ultra processed food diet. And I found myself at 18 years old weighing 300 pounds. So, McDonald's and some of the other fast food restaurants definitely didn't contribute to my health.
And how'd you feel walking around at 300 pounds?
Sick and tired all the time. It's hard being 100, 120 pounds overweight. Everything's hard, physically, but also, mentally and emotionally, I just wasn't well. Life was a roller coaster, and I did that until I couldn't do it anymore. And then one day I became sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And decided you were going to make a change, get healthy. So can you tell us about that? What did that look like? I know your brother was involved.
Yeah. My brother was 4 years older than me, is 4 years older than me, and was already working out and into fitness. And he said he would take me to the gym. So two things, realizing diet and nutrition, like changing the things that I was putting in my mouth and learning and reading and discovering all these new foods and information about nutrition. And then putting the body to work, like bodybuilding and working out in the gym, doing cardio and training the upper body, lower body. But it was impossible. I say I wasn't starting at the ground floor. I was starting in the basement, and I had to rebuild my actual foundation before I could grow. The first day I went to the gym, when my brother and I were working out, I couldn't even lift the bar. I was crying and, just thought it was impossible. And he was just there being a mentor to me. Take it one day at a time and just put the best effort in.
So the physical fitness, going to the gym, working out with your brother, and then the actual intake and the diet fitness, how long did the journey take and how much weight did you lose, Mike?
It took about 2.5 years and I lost over 100 pounds. It was probably, I stopped counting when I got to 300, but I think I was in about the 320 zone when I started the weight loss journey. And I took it to the extreme as part of this learning about diet because I went on a no-fat diet. And so I went all the way down and kind of got, more anorexic even from not eating good enough high-quality fats in the diet for a period of time. And I weighed like 160, 170 pounds. And just for context, I'm about 185 now is my kind of standard normal weight. So a considerable amount of weight loss over about 2.5 years.
Wow. And what was it around diet that was your big light bulb moment in terms of you gave up the soda, the pop, you stopped eating the chocolate bars, started eating bananas. But what was it that was the superfood that started you on your incredible entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, well, I and I talk about this all the time as an entrepreneur, but it started with my personal health changes. There was no big win. It was like a million little wins added up. So each day that I changed my diet, I just felt better, like 1% better. But I learned the hard way about essential fatty acids. And when I learned about essential fats, I learned about hemp and hemp seed being a rich source of essential fatty acids. So that gave me an opportunity to not only improve my health the next stage for me, but also see a commercial opportunity that I thought there was other people probably confused with the no-fat diet, which was popular in the mid-1990s. And I thought that's going to change to the right-fat diet. And I believe that hemp and hemp seed could be that right fat or one of those right fats that there was an opportunity to commercialize the product.
You were way out ahead of everybody else. So how do you go from, I really didn't like high school and I dropped out, to I'm going to start a business? How does that work?
Yeah, a lot of passion at that time. I had experience working, so I think the benefit was working those construction years and construction jobs where I was doing a lot of manual labor, but I was learning as a teenager how to get a job done. What is good look like from a plan to execution to an end result of maybe it was a new driveway or it was something new constructed, but that taught me about work. And so that combined with my new health passion, I was just super excited. I thought we have to make something of this. Let's figure it out. What do we have to figure out today to get the business off the ground? What do we have to figure out tomorrow to start growing the business? And it was literally just step by step like that, day by day. But it was driven by my passion. I was feeling so good personally, and I wanted that for everybody.
Isn't that amazing? And locally sourced, locally made in Manitoba?
We started that way, yeah. There was we had 20 farmers that were in Manitoba that started growing the crop for us. As the business expanded, we got to growing over 75,000 acres of hemp. And so at that point, it was 100 or 125 farmers in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta, and then even a little bit into the U.S. But Manitoba was the epicenter start for hemp legalization, hemp commercialization in Canada.
Phenomenal. And what about the education of your average consumer who may have thought that the road to the rainbow was the low-fat diet, but no, actually it wasn't based on your personal experience and now knowledge. How did you make this understood by the general population that this stuff is great?
Yeah. Lots of talking to people, lots of demonstrations in store, a lot of consumer health shows. And so we first went across Canada and then across the US to all the different health food shows where over the weekend, whether the the Wellness Expo or the Yoga Expo or the Total Health Show, basically every city in Canada and most throughout the US, the big ones have these consumer health shows, and where people are going for the weekend and learning something new, you know, learning about getting more fiber in their diet, learning about other functional foods. And so we had a highly engaged consumer that was interested in learning something new, and hemp had that mystique to it. So a lot of people were still confused in the early days, thought, oh, isn't hemp marijuana? Or is that even legal? What are you guys doing here? But that mystique combined with their curiosity to improve their health allowed us to grab their attention. And with their attention, we educated them about the different types of fat, how important it was to take to get essential fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6 in their diet, how delicious hemp seeds were and how they could be easily incorporated, you know, in salad and cereal and yogurt and kind of everyday uses. And one consumer by one consumer, we educated the population until, you know, there was a tipping point, but that took about 10 years into the business.
And at what point did the pharmaceutical giant by the name of Tilray come knocking at your door?
It was 20 years into the business.
Okay.
And a series of events happened that I thought was all well suited for the business. And in 2018, the US, after 20 years of lobbying the US to legalize hemp, they legalized hemp with the 2018 Farm Bill. That was the same year that Canada had legalized recreational cannabis. And so you had Tilray and all these other cannabis companies that had a tremendous amount of money on the public stock market because people were interested in supporting recreational cannabis and medicinal cannabis being legal. And they were looking for opportunities of expansion and growth. And so I had met the CEO of Tilray through a young president's organization, YPO, that I'm a member of. And I thought, hey, Brendan, maybe we want to have a chat because we have a great business that has 16,000 retail points of distribution with, you know, Costco and Whole Foods and Loblaws and Kroger and Target and all these great retailers. And even though hemp is regulated, you don't need a license to sell it like you do recreational and medicinal cannabis. And so they got really excited about it. And we put a deal together and sold the business to them for, you know, $419 million transaction.
Is that something you could have ever imagined? I mean, if somebody could have said to you then, Mike, well, in 20 years from now, this is what your life is going to look like. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I've always had a great imagination, but my imagination wasn't that big. But every step that we grew the business, like I thought $1 million was success when we first started the business, because I heard all the, you know, in the media and stuff about millionaires. And I want to be a millionaire, so we got to grow the business to $1 million. Well, growing a business to $1 million doesn't make you a millionaire. I learned that. And right. We also needed to be a lot bigger as a business. But when I got to the first million, it was a lot easier to see what $5 million or $10 million looked like for our business. When we got to 10 million, it started to be easier to see what 50 or 100 million could look like. So step by step, the vision and got a lot clearer. Our path got a lot clearer. And so that's why I talk to entrepreneurs and people in business in general. It's like, take that long-term approach. If you really think about it over a long term horizon, it's a snowball effect. You're going to learn more about how of the opportunity to grow. You're going to see it clear, and just give yourself time in the game, because most people quit before the going gets good.
Yeah. Can you tell me a story about, apart from the physical getting in shape, starting the business and running the business, what was the toughest challenge for you?
A couple tough challenges, but one that comes to mind, like just understanding people. You know, we grew the business ultimately to have a team of over 200 team members. But it started with our first hire, obviously, and over the years, more and more hires. And so I thought people were similar, even though they're different. I thought everyone kind of thought similar. And that's not the case. People were motivated similarly. That's not the case. And so over the years, I think as a leader, I became more empathetic for how different people thought and what motivated them, depending on what role they're in, their time in life that they're in. And so it was a real big challenge for me. It was, I was starting out as an entrepreneur and ultimately has become one of my strengths after putting a lot of focus and attention there over the years.
Phenomenal. Okay. So you've made this incredible sale. How did it feel? The money part, terrific, but this is sort of your family. This is your baby. This is your business. I don't know if you had a deal where you stuck around, you didn't stick around, but still it wasn't yours. How did that feel for you, Mike?
Yeah, tough. You know, not a lot of entrepreneurs talk about the grieving process when you come to the end of a journey. And yet it's there's more dollars in your bank account. But when you're used to going and showing up and having a team and being a leader and growing a business, even the challenging parts of it, that becomes habit and that becomes lifestyle. So it was really tough from a grieving standpoint. I had to let go and let that part of me be in the past. It was kind of a triple whammy for me though, because my mom, who I worked with and had retired from Manitoba Harvest just when we sold the business, died unfortunately a couple of weeks after we sold the business. And a couple of weeks before we sold the business, my ex and I decided it was time to separate. So I kind of had three grievings that were all happening. Not kind of, I had three grievings that were all happening at the same time. And that took a lot of effort for me to heal from that and really be prepared to move on to my next stage of life.
Yeah. All the stressors, a death in the family, a marriage breakup. And yes, the monetary side is terrific, but it's still a baby. I had to close a business once in my life. And I remember to this day, as vividly as if it happened yesterday, I made the decision to close it versus bankrupt it. And at closing that door for the last time, it just guts you. Even though, sure, yeah, you had money in the bank, it doesn't fill the emotional side of that. So what now? What did you do after that?
Yeah, I think I did a really good job of grieving. You know, I put process to grieving, and especially with my mom's death on top of the topper of all of that. And so I doubled down on what I know, and what I know is focusing on my health. And so there's a term called monk mode, which is really like highly simplifying your life,
yeah,
and focusing on the fundamentals of life, which is, you know, great quality sleep, enough hydration, proper nutrition, exercise, meditation, loving time with your friends and family to heal. And so I did that for like 6 months. I stayed home and I generally was healing myself, healing the grieving, letting yesterday die to prepare myself for capacity to do what's next. And out of that what's next came a very clear vision that I wanted to help people out. You know, I love building business, but I'm not fit to start another company and run another company. I've had that stress for over 20 years, but I want to be involved in business. And so I thought I can be two things. One, I could be a mentor and help entrepreneurs grow their business. And two, I can invest in some of those companies and create a portfolio of companies that I can offer my leadership to and my dollars and other resources to help them grow. So I started that journey now almost 5 years ago. And I have a portfolio of 10 companies and we've been growing them all in the natural products industry and offering a better for you food and beverage products and helping these founders and entrepreneurs become the next generation of leaders and these companies turn into world-class businesses.
How does that make you feel?
It feels great. Yeah, I share with people even in your most helpless time feeling, the best thing you could do is be helpful. If you're helping someone else, you can't feel helpless. And it just feels so good every day. You know, what I'm doing right now, and it's taken years to get into the position, but what I'm doing right now, I feel like I could do for the rest of my life. There is no retirement. I have my day structured where I'm living my best day ever. I put focus on my personal health, first and foremost, and on my family. I'm a single dad of two teenagers and then the portfolio companies and helping the industry grow. And I feel like I'm living my purpose every day.
That's phenomenal. Can we dive a little deeper into living your best day in my finding out as much as I could about you before we jumped onto the podcast? It was like, picture the best day of your life or that you've ever had, and then work towards trying to replicate that. Could you talk a little bit about that, Mike, just because that's something that really resonated with me?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I'll talk about the flip side of it first. I don't think enough people stop and think, how do they want to spend their time? You know, a lot of people have stumbled their way into what they're doing right now. Like they went to school and maybe got educated on a certain on a certain career. They got into that career, and then maybe they had a family, and all of a sudden they find themselves like, oh, I don't have enough hours in the day. I'm not sleeping well. And maybe I'm at a job that I don't really like. And all these kind of negative things could be happening. A lot of people are experiencing that. And so the solution to that is stepping back and saying, how do I want to spend my day? What does good look like for me? And what I've realized is it starts personally. You have to be your best self to have your best day ever. And so, you know, sleep and hydration and nutrition and exercise and like meditation and like loving time for yourself, you have to envision what that looks like and how your day would be constructed around that. Then what do you want to work? Like, we all have an opportunity to change our job, change our career, start a business, do whatever, but you have to really give yourself space to say, what would you feel really, really comfortable doing? And what does that work look like for you? And put that into your best day ever plan. And then how do you want to spend time with your friends and family? And like, what's fun for you? What charges you up? How do you educate yourself? You know, and there's a bucket around that. And so being really thoughtful and mindful of what does that best day ever look like for you, then you can do an audit of where you are right now versus what that best day ever is, and start to put a plan to migrate there, because it doesn't happen overnight. So you got to be mindful first and go through that exercise. Then you got to put a plan, and then you got to take action. And not only have I experienced it myself, I've seen it in enough people that start to walk that journey. And you know, a year or 2 years later, they're living their best day ever most days or every day. And such a joy to live like that.
I know so many people who fall into the previous, I'm tired, I hate my job, I'm stressed, I don't have time to exercise, I don't care what I eat because it doesn't matter, and on it goes. I will use the word brave for the first time as we're 22 minutes in. I think it's brave to step off of that. As much as you hate the guinea pig on the hamster on the hamster wheel situation, I'm just going to keep on doing it. It's easier than having to step off and make a change.
Yeah. And it's a vicious cycle. You know, it's when you're in that and you're in a negative spiral, it's hard. It's hard to break out of that. You likely need some support. That support might be therapy. That support might be coaching. You might need a strong friend group that you don't have as of yet. So there may be something missing in your life to help you at being a catalyst. But it's important to seek that out. One, two, it's really important to realize that doing hard things in life really betters us. I think there's a tendency to think about, I don't know if you feel this way, but like, as life goes on, we should be making it easier for ourselves, you know? And that's a trap, you know? Easier for yourself, all of a sudden you could get into a downward spiral and you thought, I thought I was making this easier for myself, and now I'm living a life that I don't like. And where the opposite is true, if you're challenging yourself and you're doing hard things, you're usually feeling really good about yourself, and you're opening up all these opportunities for new and creating your best day ever. And the third benefit of it is when shit happens, you're used to doing challenging things, so it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't destroy you. Like, oh, your marriage has to come to an end, or a friend, someone dies that you know, or whatever the other challenge. All these challenges can happen to us in life. If you've focused on seeking out challenges and getting good at facing your challenges in life, you're so much better prepared.
I love that, and you're so right. The older we get, the more we should be pushing ourselves to do stuff that isn't so easy. I mean, who the hell wants easy? It's not interesting. It's not engaging. You don't feel great about yourself.
Yeah. People ask me all the time, like, Mike, you've created all this success for yourself. But you continue doing all these new things. And I'm like, yeah, well, I look for opportunity. You know, I wanted to write a book for a long time. It was scary as hell when I launched my book and started to write my book. And then I actually had to bring the book to market. Same thing with like becoming a public speaker and sharing my thought leadership on stage. Like, it excites me, but it scares me. And I know I have to go towards those things, because I believe, and we've heard it from enough people that are at that space in life, if you get to your deathbed in the end of your life and you don't accomplish some of these things, you're gonna regret it. And regret is the worst thing you could have in this life. We're never going to be on our deathbed and say, I wish I worked more. But you're definitely going to be on your deathbed and say, hey, I wish I would have gone after some of those things that I really wanted to do, even though it felt scary.
Absolutely. The book is called Grow, 12 Unconventional Lessons for Becoming an Unstoppable Entrepreneur. Talk about that process. Yeah, writing a book. Yeah, sure. One day I'm going to write a book. But how do you sit down and start writing a book, Mike?
Yeah, I had it on my list of things to do for a long time because I lived an unconventional path. You know, I dropped out of high school. I wasn't formally educated. I started a business when I was very young. I made all these health changes. Like I felt like I needed to share some of these lessons for people that were not living a conventional life themselves or were looking for other opportunities and ways to grow. So finally, as I had time on my hands, I couldn't make up the excuse anymore that it could wait. But like a good CEO, I put process to it, and I said, "What is a good book writing process look like?" And assembled a team to help because it was a self-published book, and it took a good 12, almost 18 months to write and prepare the book to launch, and then it launched in March 2023, so just about a year ago.
And what has the response to the book been?
It became a bestseller, which is really nice. That's what every author wants. And
absolutely.
And has opened up a lot of opportunities for me. The more people that can, you know, I share myself openly on social media, on my podcast, on podcasts like this, so people can hear my story and some of the lessons I've learned, and I openly share because I want everyone to find their sweet spot, their best day ever. But reading a book, you can get fully deep into the story and under the hood and understand me. And so the feedback from people has been very, very good. It's invited me onto a number of stages and started to speak on personal and professional growth. And so I think I'm successful now. I could say I'm successful in the last year as an author, and it's a gift that keeps on giving, because when you actually put it into print and there's an audiobook as well, it's there forever. It's there in eternity.
Call out right now. How can people get a hold of it?
Yeah. I mean, all things me is at mikefata.ca, mikefata.ca. But the book is available on Amazon and all the online sellers too. But there's links on my site, and whether you want the print version or the Kindle version or the audiobook, it's all available.
Amazing. I would love to talk to you about mentoring, because that's something that you've gotten involved in terms of the book, obviously, but helping, doing coaching and mentoring people that might want to start a business or have started a business and need some guidance along the way. How is that going for you?
Oh, it's going very well. I'm a natural mentor because I've had really good mentors in my life as role models and examples. And I've learned a lot about mentorship as a good part of the last 5 years has been directed towards mentorship. You know, there's three forms of mentorship. Traditional mentorship, where you have the older guy or gal that's done it before and created a lot of success, and they're your mentor to help you through. Peer-to-peer mentorship, where you're connecting with other entrepreneurs or other business people that are in a similar space than you that you could share your opportunities with. And then mass mentorship, books and podcasts and social sharing. And so I'm a old school mentor to a number of entrepreneurs. I'm a peer-to-peer mentor, and I've grown up with a number of entrepreneurs in that space, and I still give back into that space. And then I've been creating all these tools for people that want to self-serve some of my mass mentorship as well. And so I feel like that muscle's just getting stronger in me. I love doing it. It's a huge part of my give back project, and I truly love seeing people doing better. Like one of the oldest entrepreneur that I've mentored has been over 10 years now, and she started out in business. It was her first year, and they were just starting out, and now they're running like a $10 million company. So it's amazing to see people's growth like that and success.
If you're able to, Mike, what are some of the brands that you're either invested in or chairman of or mentoring around? Because I have them here, but I am still very amazed at the breadth of products that you're involved in, all basically good for you products, nothing crummy, nothing bad for you. But if you could mention those, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and thank you. I appreciate it. I have a portfolio of 10 companies, nine companies. We sold one of the companies last year. I keep saying 10, it's nine. And of the nine, I'm involved in like half of them. So Nuts for Cheese is a great cashew-based cheese product that I chair the board and help Margaret, the founder, which I believe she's been on your show.
Yeah.
Midday Squares is out of Montreal, Canada, and just a functional chocolate bar. Great product, great founders. Bloom and Karen and her company are based out of Vancouver, and functional beverage powders, latte mixes, and bringing superfoods into that category. I'm also involved in Om Mushrooms, which is one of the leader in functional mushrooms like lion's mane and reishi and cordyceps. We have a factory in California growing organic mushrooms. And Purposeful Snacking, which is bringing popcorn and snacks to the market with the cause of giving back 25% of the proceeds to charity. So those are some of my favorites.
And I've seen ads on Instagram for them. I love Margaret's product, Nuts for Cheese. She sent me a bunch of them and it's amazing. And now she's delivering.
Yeah. Yeah. We just launched direct to consumers. You can go on the website and order cheese and cheese bundles and yeah, great product. You know, I'm a flexitarian, but me and cheese never got along that well because you know, dairy sensitivity a little bit, but Margaret's product, and I've experimented this with so many friends that people can't tell that it's not cheese because it's made from it's made in a traditional cheese making way. It's just made out of cashew milk and so much love for the product. And now a range of cream cheeses and butter spreads, and it's a beautiful company and a great factory, great team, and all led by a great founder.
And Mike, what's next for you? What are some of the hard things that you would like to challenge yourself to do in the future, continuing to take on hard things?
Yeah. You know, I'm chewing a lot of the things that I bit off in the last year. So I'm conscious of that. I'm a single dad now, full-time to my two kids. So family is really, really important to me. And they're in that developmental stage where a lot of my focus and time and attention is with them. I see myself continuing to grow and expand my portfolio of companies and helping entrepreneurs more in our space grow. I really love the thought leadership. So is there another book in me? Maybe. Is there a lot more social sharing and podcasts and stuff? For sure there will, because it really excites me. And I continue to challenge myself physically. And I'm 48 years old, and I want to be in the best shape of my life for each year that goes on. And so I put a lot of time and attention there as well. And so I'll be back to, I have a goal this year. I went to Running Man last year. I'm not a huge runner. It's been, you know, jogging and cardio has been part of my life, but I like to challenge myself that way. So I'll be back to Running Man later this year and outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm always looking for like the what's next, but I am really mindful of that. I'm doing a lot. I've set myself up with a lot of things over the last couple of years, and I want to do them all very well and continuously improve them.
Good for you. Must be a phenomenal, you must be setting, apart from your, I'm sure, incredible parenting skills, but just the lifestyle of the exercise and the hydration and the food intake for two teenagers, that's pivotal.
Yeah. Our house eats like a health food store. So all homemade cooked food, healthy food, most of it's organic, all of it's natural and whole food. And so, yeah, I'm a big believer in servant-based leadership. You know, the best way to lead, whether it's your kids or a team, is lead by example and understand them and set them up for success. So my kids witness, they're part of the food system here. They're now cooking in with the healthy foods, and that's not everything to teenagers. We're not purist, you know, but I've set them up with a good foundation as well. They've witnessed me exercise and have the sauna and the ice baths and the massage and the healing aspects of healthy living. And so they're starting to incorporate that into their day-to-day routine as well.
That's fabulous. I have something I'd love to chat with you about, which is that you learned that the biggest challenge many founders face, yourself included, isn't growing an idea into a successful multi-million dollar business, but rather growing more personally into the role of a leader as your business grows and you're talking about 200 people on your team. And how did you do that? How did you become that phenomenal leader? You mentioned you had some great mentors in your life, but that's the biggest challenge, honestly.
Yeah, I want to say I learned it late, but I think it did late. I realized that, you know, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, it's one thing to start up a business and be scrappy and do anything that it takes to get the business off the ground. But by the time we came to $7, $8, $10 million in revenue, which took about 10 years, and the team started to grow, I realized that as a founder, that wasn't the ultimate strength that I needed for the business. I needed to become a CEO. And I attacked that like I attack most things, is like, well, what does a good look like for being a CEO? And I started studying more and reading more business books on some of the leading CEOs from leading businesses and taking the best practices that felt right for me. And so that's all I've learned a lot about being my best self. Because if you're not your best self, you can't show up as a leader. Yeah. Taking care of yourself, you know, waking up a little bit earlier, going to the gym, working out, eating good, all those things. So I studied business and I studied CEOs for a number of years, and I just became super passionate about that. I also, as you mentioned, I did have some good mentors that I could look up to and say, okay, that's an example that I'm following. So now old guy or gal mentorship and mass mentorship, where I was reading the books and learning from people. And then I, the peer-to-peer mentorship, I learned about Young Presidents Organization, YPO, which I've been a member now of 13 years. And so, and I didn't know about some of the other organizations. There's some great ones like Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, there's Tech. And so there's groups that entrepreneurs get together generally once a month and, you know, non-competing businesses, but everyone's growing a business. So they have their own challenges. How do I become a better leader? Oh, I'm hiring a new team, or we're expanding our facility. And so I've learned a lot being a YPO member and being exposed to other successful entrepreneurs that were growing their businesses.
Fabulous. Can we talk a little bit about your podcast? That's the one we've read the book and we've talked about mentorship, but your podcast is called Founder to Mentor. So tell me about that journey.
Yeah, I realized that I have an unfair advantage of access to great entrepreneurs that have personally grown and professionally grown and made these wonderful brands and many that some of your listeners may be familiar with. And so I thought, okay, I want to have conversations with these people and pull out some of the thoughts of like, how did they grow? How do they think about business? How do they think about strategy? You know, what's important to them when they're building team and culture? And it started with a couple conversations and now has led into over 70 episodes. I did take a break over the last couple of months and the podcast will be relaunching into season 3, but there's just some great conversations there. I think whether you're an entrepreneur in the CPG business or consumer goods business, or you're just looking for strategies and tactics and motivation for personal and professional growth, I think people would enjoy the podcast.
Founder to Mentor. Please check it out. Here's the signature question. Since we're talking about breaking brave, what does bravery mean to you?
Trying things, even though you don't have a clear outcome of success and there could be fear alongside that. So like breaking that fear barrier of trying things.
Yeah. Your best day, your best life is just on the other side of fear.
100%. I'll give you a recent example of that.
Please.
So I started doing ice baths about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. And I had read about them.
Yeah.
I'm a science guy, so I like to understand, okay, you know, there's benefits to getting into cold water immersion, hydrotherapy. I've been a sauna user for a long time. Just very good for inflammation, good for metabolism, good for a number of things. All this stuff is proven out, but it is really, really, really hard to get your body into a cold bath and sit there for a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And so it's taught me a lot. I've now done probably 200. It's a part of my regular weekly routine. I've done probably 200 over the last 2 years, and it's never easier.
Really?
bravery is needed on each one of them. Maybe not bravery, because I know the outcome now is I feel so great afterwards and it's contributing to my overall health. But those first, that first one, the first 10, the first 50, I just had to say, like, turn the mind off and just get in and breathe and like stay in a relaxed state. So I take that now with into a lot of other challenges that I face in life when I know that it may just be a perceived challenge. And, you know, our brains are very protective of us and they'll talk you out of all the reasons why you shouldn't do that. Try something new, you know, go on that trip by yourself or go introduce yourself to people or whatever it is that that growth is just right on the other side of it. But the hard wall is in front of it. And so I've been a lot better at bravery and other aspects of my life because of the cold plunges.
I love it. What does it actually do to your body? I mean, bazillion years ago, the Swedes would have a sauna and then go jump in the snow, sort of a similar type of effect.
For sure.
But what does a cold plunge do for your body?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of effects, but like inflammation, reducing inflammation is one of them. And so what I feel like is, you know, I have a little bit of pain in the joints or stiffness in the muscles. If I work out hard, it just instantly goes away. That's why sports teams and athletes have been doing it for you know, a long, long time. They go into a nice bath after they finish their game. So it really has a positive impact on the on your muscles and your joints. But it also increases your metabolism. When you get your body into a cold state, your body wants to warm up. That shivering or that warming effect increases your metabolism. And so people will, it'll burn, you burn more calories actually. Hmm. And not only when you're in the bath, but afterwards as well. And increases your level of brown fat, which is your healthy fat that surrounds your muscles. And that has a whole role on, you know, your hormone balance working better and you just, you know, your immune system working better. So, you know, you hear a lot of people that say, I go into the cold now and then I get sick less often. And that's part, I think, in the immune response. But from my top is just, I don't feel inflammation in the body like I used to. If I'm in, and I usually go sauna, and then a cold plunge afterwards, 3 or 4 days a week.
Good for you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, Mike, how can people around the world listening support you, find you? How can we help you? This is really the question. How can we help you? Because what you're doing is so amazing.
I'm an author, so I'd say, you know, buy a copy of my book. It's available. I think you'll enjoy the read. That's a wonderful way to support me. Okay. But there's free ways to support me. The free ways to support me is just go and connect on social, on LinkedIn or on Instagram or one of the social platforms that you're on. Introduce other entrepreneurs and let them know about me and so I can be helpful to them. Because there's one thing that I do want to touch on, and it's our mass mentorship toolbox at fattafleischman.org. Greg Fleischman and I, one of my good industry friends, decided that like we could help people out by offering them all the forms, tools, and templates that we've used to grow our businesses, successful businesses. And so we just put it on a website for free. You can go and sign a free account and just go and access. And there's over 1,000 different forms, tools, and templates from, you know, how do you write your first business plan to projection models that you could use for financial projections and HR documents, how to write a job description and how to do an employee review. So all aspects of the business and it's 100% free. And there's been thousands of entrepreneurs that access the toolbox on a regular basis. It was written up in Forbes, but I want more of the world to know, because a lot of entrepreneurs, and I know when I was an entrepreneur, I lacked some of those tools and sometimes I could get them from some of my mentors, but I don't believe anyone should have to pay for that stuff. And I just want to create more awareness that it's available.
Yes, I did read it in Forbes as I was preparing for today's chat. So I'm really thrilled that you brought it up, and so good of you to just be giving back and making these things available in one place. So just repeat the name of it, Fatta Fleischman.
FattaFleischman.org.
Okay.
And if someone goes to MikeFatta.ca, my website, it has the link to the Mass Mentorship Toolbox and my podcast or the book, a ton of everything, all aspects of me in one.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Mike. I've learned a ton. And you have been somebody that I've been following on LinkedIn for years and years and years. And I'm so honored to have been able to have this conversation with you, and congratulations for everything that you've done and are continuing to do.
I appreciate it. And thanks again for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. For updates between episodes, I'd encourage you to join my mailing list, which you can do at either marilynbarefoot.com or breakingbrave.show. At most once a month, at least once a quarter, you'll receive an update on the latest resources, topics, and information I've found either super helpful or amazingly impactful. That's it for now. See you next time.